Good evening and welcome everyone to the Simple Actions Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Amy and I am an alcoholic.
Hi, Amy.
For those who care to join us, let's open the meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. They are across the main foyer and up a small flight of stairs. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA's simple actions. This is the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open, big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening, we are discussing step two. Please welcome our panel this evening, Casey and Bob. I will read the first paragraph on page 44, and then the panel will share for a few minutes each on the reading. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. In the preceding chapters, you have learned something of alcoholism. We hope we have made clear the distinction between the alcoholic and the non-alcoholic. If, when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely, or if when drinking, you have little control over the amount you take, you are probably alcoholic. If that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. To one who feels he is an atheist or agnostic, such an experience seems impossible, but to continue as he is means disaster, especially if he is an alcoholic of the hopeless variety. To be doomed to an alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis are not always easy alternatives to face. But it isn't so difficult. About half our original fellowship were of exactly that type. At first, some of us tried to avoid the issue, hoping against hope we were not true alcoholics. But after a while, we had to face the fact that we must find a spiritual basis of life, or else. Perhaps it is going to be that way with you, but cheer up. Something like half of us thought we were atheists or agnostics. Our experience shows that you need not be disconcerted. If a mere code of morals or a better philosophy of life were sufficient to overcome alcoholism, many of us would have recovered long ago. But we found that such codes and philosophies did not save us, no matter how much we tried. We could wish to be moral, we could wish to be philosophically comforted. In fact, we could will these things with all our might, but the needed power wasn't there. Our human resources, as marshaled by the will, were not sufficient. They failed utterly. Lack of power, that was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves, obviously. But where and how were we to find this power? Well, that's exactly what this book is about. Its main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. Bob?
Yeah, and it's Bobby. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Bobby.
And you had me on that one question there about to be doomed to an alcoholic, painful death, or to live by these spiritual principles. And you know, my gut reaction back the first time was, well, let me think about it for a second. Is there got to be some loophole that I can still drink and not die the painful alcoholic death? And I can still remember somewhere along the line. So I got sober October 18th, 2011 is when I picked up the last white chip. And my home group is Joys of Recovery, before I forget it. We're a big book study, 8 o'clock Thursday over in South Norfolk here when I study big book with us. But in the last 3 to 5 years, I remember being on the internet trying to find a way. There was these different things like rational recovery, things like that. But I was trying to find a way that I could drink, just not drink that much, right? And not have those killer hangovers. And one of the things, too, that I discovered is if I bought the expensive booze, which I couldn't afford all the time, so don't. What I found is I drank too much of it. You know, like when I swapped to get a real bottle of Skol vodka, it was really easy to drink 3/4 of that thing. And I'm talking the 1.75 jug, right? And I don't know why that was coming in my mind on the way over here. But at the very end of my drinking, that line in there about we had to have a power, for me, it meant I needed a power that could save me from the insanity of alcoholism. Because I got, for me, I'll take it back to that, to the top of that stuff there, where it says we came to believe that power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And one of the things that I found is I have this insane thinking in my alcoholic brain. You know, I got the body of an alcoholic. There's no doubt there. Because if I get a little bit of alcohol in me, I want more. But my brain tells me I can't live life without alcohol. And it told me that very loudly. Even after a motorcycle accident, and I'm looking in the mirror at road rash and bruising that just kept growing on my body. Each day it was getting worse. And the DUI, because they stole my blood while I was passed out in the hospital, right? They stole it. That was one of my resentments against that hospital over here, Norfolk General. They brought me from Chesapeake, called Norfolk General, just to get more money from me. So that's the kind of stuff that I was writing in the first four-step inventory. But I was unable to find a way to successfully drink the way I wanted to. And I was unable to stay stopped. Although I was quite able to put the brakes on, and it was what I called it. I would prove a point, and I'd stop drinking for a little bit, and I'd be miserable, and you'd be miserable, and eventually I'd have to put myself out of my misery and go back to the ABC store that I had swore I would never go back to again. Heartfelt swearing, too, right? Really, 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 really mean it, that I was going to stay sober. And it was just impossible until I got here, back to AA, and was beat into a state of reasonableness by alcohol, which is one of the lines that's in here that I remember reading real quickly the other night. So lack of power, and the only place that I have found the power to stay sober and continuously for a certain amount of days has been here in AA. I know that I have proven, I've tried to do it on my own, doesn't work for me at all. And I seem to be incapable of even imagining life without alcohol on my own till I get here in AA and I get exposed to this other way of life. And I'll pass over to Casey with that.
Thanks. Hi, my name is Casey. I'm an alcoholic and addict.
Hey, Casey.
And my sobriety date is April the 15th, 2016, and I have a home group, which is Big Book in Ghent. They meet on Tuesdays at 5:30, and I have a sponsor who has a sponsor, and I have sponsees. And I learned that riddle from a listen and the other people talk. So anyway, So I grew up in a very religious household. There was a lot of church in my life. To the there's a place in this big book where a guy thought he had an overdose of religious teachings or whatever. Like, they didn't miss anything. I have to tell you, it took me about 12 years to actually hear that line, but it's been in there evidently since they wrote the book. But so when I came here and they were talking about spirituality, I kind of brushed that whole thing off because I didn't really want to walk down that path, and I didn't realize that when I first came in, but I had a lot of resentments against the church and a lot of resentments against God. I actually, a couple weeks ago, had an epiphany at my home group because I used to say that my mom did the same thing with religion that I did with crack and alcohol, and no, it's not the same. And it just like hit me one day like a ton of bricks, so I had said those things numerous times in my home group, and nobody ever said anything to me about it, and I was just really thankful that they were so kind and gracious to accept my crazy. So I didn't really talk about that because it, like, you guys clearly aren't church, but I came in here and I had no idea that that where it talks about a mere code of morals or better philosophies. Well, I adopted the morals and better philosophies that AA have, and I did it quickly, and my life transformed immediately. And everything I had lost, I got back, and it was absolutely phenomenal, and it was absolutely powerful. But it wasn't enough to sustain me. And I didn't know that at the time, and I have to be honest, I just recently learned it. You know, that was almost 17 years ago, and I have been in and out of AA, and I've gotten years of sobriety, and I haven't stayed sober, and I have finally figured it out. It's because I wasn't looking for a power in which I could live by. I was looking for a power that could get me not wanted anymore, or maybe get my job back, or my house back, or relationship with my family back. And I didn't know that that was my ulterior motive, and I didn't know that that was my goal until I realized that I absolutely positively cannot live this life without something greater than me and the training to turn everything that this life gives me over. I really thought that AA was going to give me a life without problems. I did not understand that AA is going to help me live the life that I'm supposed to lead, no matter what that looks like. And I have to tell you, being in and out of these rooms all these years, I've seen amazing women go through tragedies in their life, you know, and I felt a ton of compassion for them, but I didn't know at the time that they were teaching me how to walk through own tragedies in my own life. And what I have to say that stands out to me the most is they were in a meeting and they were sharing about it, and then I would see them later out to dinner or at a service position. And it's amazing the way people can touch your lives, and when something happens to you, you remember something or some woman 10 years ago in a meeting, you know, and the day that she shared. So it took me literally 17 years to figure out that the purpose of this book is to enable me to find a power greater than myself, which will solve my problem, and that will, you know, help me walk day to day through life without causing major catastrophes, which is left to my own devices, I do, whether they be internal or external. And just coming to AA, the quality of my problems always improve. Always improve. And I love the pink cloud phase, as my sponsor calls it. You know, the first 2 years when you're getting things back and there's all this radical transformation and everything seems really on edge. But for me, that is the time of my sobriety through these walks that I've been the most surrendered. You know, like, it's super easy to surrender jail sentences. You know, it's not so easy to surrender maybe not taking the job you want because it's selfish to everyone else in your life. Or maybe, not restraint of tongue and pen, not telling your boss exactly what you think because he's kind of wrong, you know. And so I'm nervous, you guys. That's all I've got for that. Thanks.
Thanks, Casey. The next reading is on page 46. Much to our relief, we discovered we did not need to consider another's conception of God. Our own conception, however inadequate, was sufficient to make the approach and to effect a contact with Him. As soon as we admitted the possible existence of a creative intelligence, a spirit of the universe underlying the totality of things, we began to be possessed of a new sense of power and direction, provided we took other simple steps. We found that God does not make too hard terms with those who seek him. To us, the realm of spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding to those who earnestly seek. It is open, we believe, to all men. Casey.
It's a good thing that he doesn't make too hard terms, because I was a slow learner. But what I have to say is, for sure, when I stopped practicing, you know, like, I didn't realize it, but, you know, when the quality of your problems in your life get better, at least for me, the ambition to show up here and solve my problems became greatly decreased. And because I had this, like, new important role in my life that I needed to show up for, and so I always thought in the back of my mind, and I didn't know it consciously, that I was sober enough to be allowed to not do A, B, C, and D anymore. And so I would hit the 2 or the 3 year mark, and my life would be completely different than it was 3 or 4 years ago. And then sure enough, within the next 6 or 7 years, I was hitting another bottom. So for me, what I have found is not that coming to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous only works for a short time, but that I stop working it after I've been here for a while. You know, and I'm a true alcoholic. I have to say, the people that helped save my life in the beginning are the same people that I have resentments about listening to them speak 2 years later. You know, and so, like, so I would, and it's really my own mess. It was really not them, but I began to be inconvenienced by Alcoholics Anonymous. And what I know now is, if Alcoholics Anonymous isn't inconveniencing your life, then you're not involved in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, staying sober isn't convenient, you know. But what I can hands down say, it's way more convenient than trying to bail yourself out of jail, you know, or ask if you can come back inside your parents' house, you know, and all of those lovely alternatives that I have left open for myself. So it's completely true. Like, once that like, what I have is a daily reprieve, even though it doesn't say this in this sentence. Like, as long as I seek an answer, you know, and just open myself up through sharing with the people in the rooms and making quiet time to talk to my higher power. Like, that the ability to pause. You know, pause is a huge thing for me. I had to pause today. It was the hardest pause ever. And the ability to pause is with me. And the ability to have moments of frantic and irrational emotions, but know it almost instantaneously that, one, it's probably not my business, and two, I don't actually have to do anything about that right now. And it's funny, the very same things that get you sober are the same things that keep you sober. And I am acutely aware of that today. And that's all I've got.
I really like all the different names for God that the bill starts to throw in here, and he's got a couple of them here. The realm of spirit here, the creative intelligence, a spirit of the universe, G-O-D, good orderly direction. I heard you used to hear that one a lot. And then somewhere another one I would like is the father of lights that presides over us. I like that universal type stuff. It works for me. It works for me the same way just AA does in general. Casey mentioned sponsorship. So and I got a great sponsor local. I had the first sponsor for the first 4 years. He moved away to California, and I still stay in touch with him. Had the awesome experience of him coming into town to visit, and he stayed with me for a couple of days while he was here. He caught up with a bunch of the other guys that he used to sponsor. And we used to have meetings at his house on Sundays. So when he moved away, I sponsored a couple guys. And when I moved out of my house, which was at the time that it happened, moving away from my daughters, getting away from my ex was great, but moving away from my daughters was pretty painful. And so I thought it was one of those worst things that ever happened to me, was to live in my own little apartment by myself, la la la. But my guys started meeting with me on Tuesdays. And for the last 2.5 years, that has been the most solid piece of, I call it hardcore AA. Get a bunch of guys around the kitchen table, we're listening to Joe and Charlie tapes, and we're going by the big book. And we're able to share what Tim used to say all the time, deep and meaningful relationships. And that's heavy duty. And he used to say it so much, but it really sinks in. Because I do believe the deep and meaningful relationship is what we're aiming at to try to get with the GOD of our own understanding. And I'm sponsoring this new guy now. And we get together once a week and we're reading a book and I'm sharing with him exactly the way that Tim brought me through it, because it's worked for other guys. I got a couple of guys who have been sober for 4 years from doing this stuff, which is just, the credit is to GOD, because they do this stuff and it works and it keeps working. And I can make some promises, because based on my experience, that somebody coming in doesn't have to believe what AA believes for God. It's wide open. You get to pick your own. You get to experience it. And the one thing that I know I found myself saying not too long ago was, I guarantee, and I can guarantee that with big capital letters, guarantee, that if a person works the 12 steps, they'll have an experience and they'll come to have that understanding, whether it's big or small, whatever, but they'll come to know and experience GOD. And that's because it's my experience, and I don't have to sell that one. I know that one so deeply that it says it in the book so many times to try to ram home the point, you know, because I'm thick-headed. I sometimes need it with a 2x4 upside the head, because this gentle stuff doesn't always get me, right? So the one thing that I want to share here is about, we found that God does not make too hard terms with those who seek them. One of the things I did when it was probably November of 2011, and I was crying in the shower, because that's a cool place for a guy to cry if you gotta cry, right? Nobody knows. It's raining, you know, somebody actually comes in the bathroom, it's like, oh, I had water in my eye. But I was crying because my life was so effed up, and I had done it. I knew what good sobriety was like. I walked away from it, and I drank for 11 or 12 years before the motorcycle crash. So the prayer that this ties to me is that God doesn't make too hard terms. Is I did something that I remembered from treatment the first time a long time ago, where we wrote a contract with God, and I did this, and I wrote, you know, my name. I promise I will do anything you ask of me if you just take away this insane alcoholism that I can't break free of. And I knew, I wasn't even in contracts yet, but I knew the depth of writing this contract and signing my name to it. It was deep, because I'm saying, God, you just help me in whatever way you see fit, and whatever bill I owe you, I owe you. And I signed it. And I can guarantee you that it's been happening. But I also know that I gotta keep doing this stuff. I gotta stay in AA, because if I get out of AA, I will talk myself into saying, all that, you know what, you were too young. And all that stuff that, it was just, you were taking it too seriously. This whole being sober forever thing, way too seriously. And I will find myself standing in front of a cooler at a Farm Fresh or a 7-Eleven and deciding which six pack I'm gonna have, because I'm only gonna have one six pack. Because my brain will tell me it did it before, that I've been sober long enough and I can have a little bit. And that is the insanity part of this step two. Come to believe that power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. Because it's insane when I'm left to my own thinking, and my own thinking tells me I can have some alcohol. But I do know if I stay here, I'm relieved of that insanity. That thinking's not there. It's not that the thought won't come flying around like seeing something on a billboard. Like, I tell you, I know I'm an alcoholic because I can see like a Crown Royal ad, and just seeing it will make my mouth water. But that's an old memory, right? That still associates, you know, that with something good. Instead of, I need to remember that, no, that just brought me pain. And not only did it bring me pain, it brought some other people around. Which was one of the biggest lies I always told, was, just leave me alone, I'm not hurting nobody but myself. Just leave me alone, I'm okay. Boy, is that a lie. I'll stop there, thank you.
Thanks. Next, we're gonna go to page 47. We needed to ask ourselves but one short question. Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe, that there is a power greater than myself? As soon as a man can say that he does believe, or is willing to believe, we emphatically assure him that he is on his way. It has been repeatedly proven among us that upon this simple cornerstone, a wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built.
Yeah. And I got it, and I'll keep it short because I talked a lot last time. I heard this from a guy over in Great Bridge, and he said, so if you have a problem with this step, this part of it, what you want to do is you go find one of those full-length mirrors, right? And you take off all your clothes, and you look right in that mirror, and you point at it, and you say, you are the most powerful thing in the universe. And the first time I heard it, I busted out laughing because it's like, wow, yeah, I can see it. No, I am not the most powerful thing in the universe. Taking it that kind of look. And it can be so subtle that I still think that I'm in control of something because it comes out in my aggravations and every other little character defect that I still struggle with thinking that there's some kind of control that I have. But the cool thing is, when it says, do I now believe or even willingly believe that there's a power greater than myself, that's a pretty wide gate to walk through. It's a fairly simple one to go for. And I'll stop there, I think.
So you know, I really thought for, first of all, it's difficult to walk into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous the first time, but like the fifth time, it's really, really hard. So you know, especially like, so I have a little over 2 years right now, and like it takes a true alcoholic to make like a year of sobriety a bad thing. But when I hit a year of sobriety, I was like, womp, womp. I had like, I would just like, pride beat me up so severely that year. I was just disgusted and myself, and on the flip side of it now, where I feel neutral, you know, about all of it and all of that anguish is past. I'm able to see for the first time ever that every relapse I've ever had, in the very beginning, with the first time that I went through the steps, I said I am willing to believe. You know, and it has literally taken every experience that I've had since that first time to come to the level of believing and the level of commitment in believing that I'm at today. Like, I used to really despise the saying, you know, you needed every drink you took. I'm like, I'm feeling like I could have gone with a few less, you know. It was never the drinking that I didn't like. It was just always the consequences, you know. And for me, like, I have to be honest with you. I liked drinking. If there were no consequences, I would probably still be drinking. But I am definitely consequent prune. And it was a cornerstone that a wonderfully effective spiritual structure has been built. Because the structure that I have now, one thing what I know is it's not the same structure I'm going to have 10 years from now. Because like it says, what we have is a daily reprieve. And for the first time ever, I don't feel like I've arrived somewhere with my sobriety. I feel very humbled on a journey, you know. And I've never felt that way with a couple of years of sobriety in a life with a nominal amount of chaos in it. I've always felt very... grandiose, honestly, and like super proud, and I don't feel that way now. I feel extremely humbled, actually. And for the first time ever, I'm 2 years sober. I know that's not very much time. Like before, I was like, "Look at this, 2 years." I'm willing to believe, you know, and I'm willing to take the suggestions. And for me, you know, in the beginning, because I had such a misconstrued conception of God. My mother worships a punishing God, and as a result of her punishing God, a lot of the punishments that I had in my life were passed down from that guy. He's not the guy that I choose to talk to today. Through four steps, when I've finally been able to get past the major collateral damage that I cause and start writing four steps, you know, where I haven't lost my home or custody of my kid or my job, or, you know, and I can start to get down to the meat and the potatoes and attack things like the resentments that I have against the church and the fear that I have in believing something other than myself. You know, like my biggest problem is my own will. You know, like it is not natural instinct for me to not figure out how I am going to solve a problem. I'm a doer. I'm a fixer. you know. And at times it's very appropriate, but not so much if you're trying to walk in the way of what your higher power would have you. So remembering to stop and say, okay, how would you like for me to show up, is something that literally has taken the 17 years that I've been bouncing in and out of these rooms to start my mind around, and I can say that I'm just now beginning to see. Most of it involves just keeping your mouth shut and talking to a couple of people first. It's not that hard, but for me, that's extremely difficult. I'm excited that I have this cornerstone that I'm going to be able to walk the rest of my life with, and that I'm surrounded by women who have the same cornerstone and have been building on theirs for a while, and that I'm humble enough to see that I don't have it figured out. I don't have AA figured out. I don't have my spirituality figured out. I don't have, like, I'm on a journey. I don't have my life figured out, or the way I'm going to arrange this or do that or do this. And most of my fear-driven decisions, because I come off in, of course not in the rooms of AA because it's easy to be good here, but in my personal life, you know, very much in charge, and, you know, and I'm riddled with fear, you know. And I have the higher power that I have in my life is big enough and strong enough to handle that fear. And for me, one thing that I avoid, that one of my coping mechanisms to avoid fear, is to stay busy, is to get ahead of the game. And meanwhile, I'm just, you know, like a bull in a china shop, you know. And so, and what I love is, you know, my very dear friend Ryan has told me, like, it's okay to not be okay. Who knew? You know, I was trying to arrange my life to be okay all of the time. And now I have a higher power in my life that can protect me while I'm not. And that's okay. I don't have to be happy all the time. I don't have to be comfortable all the time. Like, the higher power that I have in my life works for every situation in my life.
We're going to skip ahead to page 52. We had to ask ourselves why we shouldn't apply to our human problems the same readiness to change our point of view. We were having trouble with personal relationships. We couldn't control our emotional natures. We were a prey to misery and depression. We couldn't make a living. We had a feeling of uselessness. We were full of fear. We were unhappy. We couldn't seem to be of real help to other people. Was not a basic solution of these bedevilments more important than whether we should see newsreels of lunar flight? Of course it was. When we saw others solve their problems by a simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe, we had to stop doubting the power of God. Our ideas did not work, but the God idea did.
So we, like, this was really easy to wrap my mind around. I was having trouble with personal relationships. I couldn't control my emotional natures. I was prey to misery and depression. I couldn't make a living. I felt useless. This was super easy to wrap my mind around when I came in here broken. My bottoms are really low. But I can remember reading this at other times when they didn't all apply, and the willingness to surrender didn't come as easily for me, if it came at all. And so, like, for me, the biggest thing about step two for me is surrendering, you know, and really looking at all of the ways that not only do I need to, but that I have to surrender, you know. I was, like I said before, very accustomed to surrendering, you know, the collateral damage in my life. And when all of that was gone, I fortunately, you know, have been able to stick around and be surrounded by people that I've watched surrender their stuff. You know, I was a very slow learner. I couldn't comprehend that the role that AA played in my life after I got enough sobriety to have a job. And for people to maybe not constantly talk about whatever last drama I had caused in their life was. I couldn't seem to get past that point. And the reason is because I wasn't surrendered enough to not take the reins of my life back over. I would, like, literally kick God out of the driver's seat of my bus and be like, thanks, dude, I got it. And just, you know, haul butt down the road until I inevitably crashed. And so, But I do know, without a shadow of a doubt now, is the basic solution of all of my bedevilments are a relationship with my higher power, you know. And I'm thankful for that to no ends, and it feels very strange coming out of my mouth. You know, like I have been placed in the position to have my mom living with me for a while, and like I had to ask her to stop speaking tongues in my living room right before I walked out of the door. Like, and here I am talking about spirituality, you know, and not that there's anything against speaking in tongues. Like it works for my mother. I've also come to respect that that's her faith, and she's allowed to have it as I'm allowed to have mine, you know. But I have such a resentment against God, or I did when I came in here, that I really couldn't fathom. It was only the work of God could undo my resentment to God. And it was, and all I had to do was to really throw my hands up and surrender, which I'm very unpracticed at. So when I find myself at war or not at peace, or like, I know automatically that my problem is surrendering. And I also know that surrender doesn't always come with one prayer or when I want it to. So that's what I got.
That's awesome. I was thinking, so me and Casey, so this is like the relapse discussion table tonight, is if you guys haven't seen the thing, when you said three times, this is my third two. And the one that I have here is underlined was the, we had a feeling of uselessness. We were full of fear. We were unhappy. We couldn't seem to be a real help. I didn't want to be a real help to anybody else. And the word compassion, Tim, when I was first getting started, Tim, you said a long time, compassion. I didn't have compassion. I didn't give a but for anybody else. But what had happened in my drinking, and I can remember the night that it happened, I was sitting on the couch, wife sitting there beside me, she was complaining about something, and I had my scotch glass in my hand, whiskey, you know. She said something, and I just felt something snap inside of me. And I remember thinking, I don't care. I don't care what you're saying. I don't care about this house. I don't care about my job. I don't care about the kid. I don't care about nothing. But I got my drink. So what? And I can remember that night because it was a real moment for me where I had once again made the decision to blot out the intolerable consciousness of this situation until the bitter end. That's what I was going to do. I was just going to drink. Because this uselessness and the fear, that's all I knew. The most anxiety I ever had was when my boss would let me out of work early on a Friday, and I'd be trying to get back to Great Bridge, and I'd get hit by a bridge, and a bridge would go up. And I'd be sitting there for 15 minutes. No one knows, cold beer in Great. I just couldn't get there for 15. And that would set my heart racing. Or when there was a bad storm coming, not having enough booze, buddy, put me in a world of hurt to go make sure I had to go. And it needed some ice, not for the kids that had some cold waters, for mine. I had to have ice. So I was useless to anybody at the end, because alcohol, I was a slave. And I say this all the time, I was a slave to alcohol. But it took me getting sober a little bit to realize just how deeply I was a slave to alcohol. Told me what I could do and what I couldn't do. So I was so full of fear, and the only thing I knew how to do was drink and try to beat that fear down. And of course, at the end, it didn't always work, so just typically passed out anyways. But one thing I want to share on this one is about, he says another word for God that I really like here. When we saw others being in AA solve their problems by a simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe. I really like that one, spirit of the universe. It's pretty big. And I can feel that one. You put me on a beach somewhere, put me on in the mountains, I can get in touch with the spirit of the universe in a heartbeat. And it says we had to stop doubt and empower God. But for me, the spirit of the, a simple reliance, I'd have to look that up in the dictionary, but what I got in my big book here, where it says simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe, it says trust. And that's what I put on my big book. I don't know if you can see it from the back, but it's trust in big capital letters. And for me, it could be trust in this book. It could be trust in Alcoholics Anonymous, the fellowship. It could be trust in God once I got there. When I was in treatment, the first time I was 23 or so, 24, and the counselor told me, he said, yeah, you know, I heard your story. Your trust machine got broken when you were a little boy. Spike dead. Bad. But now, and he was telling me this when I was 20 film, but that same ability to trust was still broken in me at 46 when I crashed back in the AA the third time, right? And the second time was in 2000 when I tried to get sober because of my first daughter being born in 99, and I came back to AA in 2000, but I did it all on my own. I came back to AA, I don't even remember picking up a weight chip, went to some meetings, was miserable for a few months. And finally, I was so miserable, couldn't stand being sober, went back to drinking. So the simple reliance, and for me, that's just reliance, that's three syllables. Trust is easier, it's shorter, it's more to the point. And I tell this to the guys I sponsor too. You can trust the process, because that's a buzzword we used to hear a long time ago. Trust the process. Trust the trust steps. The trust steps can work. And then eventually you might be able to get to that point of trusting God. And in my daily life today, it boils down to, it's almost always it's a choice. Am I going to trust God or am I going to live in fear? Am I going to trust the process of whatever's going to happen next in this wild ride that we call sobriety? Or I am going to keep creating my own negative possible futures that haven't even happened yet, where I die natural painful deaths and I'm alone and I'm living under a bridge with not enough money to even get a six-pack. My brain, my automatic fear generator will generate that type of scenario in a heartbeat. But for me, it gets down to, do I want to trust God or do I want to live in that painful fear? And so today, when I'm in the program and I'm hanging out with people who work the trust steps and live this way of life, it makes it a lot easier to pick the good choice. Not that I don't do a kick and a screaming sometimes too, right? And I do. Sometimes I'm scared. Sometimes I'm like, okay, God, I trust you. I'm gonna dip my little toe in here and you know, hopefully there's no alligators and they're gonna bite me. I'm gonna trust you like that. And I go like that a little bit at a time. So I don't want you to think I don't always just dive head in first and say, we're gonna trust the universe today. We woke up and it's all gonna be okay. Because, you know, that scared little kid's still alive there, and sometimes he takes control of the bus. And that's a word picture that really worked for me. Is I can't let that little kid drive my bus anymore, you know? Because that scared little kid will drive the bus into a ditch. Or if that 15-year-old kid of mine wants to smoke some herb and get a 12-pack and turn up the AC/DC, he's going to have us partying on the highway to hell in a heartbeat. And I don't want to get, I've been there, done that. I've done enough. And it blew my ears out too, so I don't really like that. The loud stuff anymore. But the whole point is, and I hear, what does my daughter say? I got a 14-year-old. She says something about the issue bus or the trust bus or something like that. It's kind of similar. But for me, it just boils down to that decision. Just to choose to trust. And then I can apply the one day at a time thing too, right? I can trust God today for this little bit of thing that I need to do today, or the thing that I try to not do today. If I got something that I really need to not do, like not get defensive with the exes we're going through this divorce, I need to shut my mouth. It's one of my spiritual tools. You know, we got that spiritual toolkit that it talks about? Well, one of mine is duct tape for my mouth. It's a very spiritual tool. I don't have that when I'm drinking. I'm going to say what I'm going to say when I'm drinking, right? And it's going to get me in trouble. So I would have never had that little piece of spiritual tool by coming to this program. So thank you.
Our next reading is on page 55. Actually, we were fooling ourselves, for deep down in every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. It may be obscured by calamity, by pomp, by worship of other things, but in some form or other, it is there. For faith in a power greater than ourselves and miraculous demonstrations of that power in human lives are facts as old as man himself. We finally saw that faith in some kind of God was a part of our makeup, just as much as the feeling we have for a friend. Sometimes we had to search fearlessly, but he was there. He was as much a fact as we were. We found the great reality deep down within us, In the last analysis, it is only there that he may be found. It was so with us. We can only clear the ground a bit. If our testimony helps sweep away prejudice, enables you to think honestly, encourages you to search diligently within yourself, then, if you wish, you can join us on the broad highway. With this attitude, you cannot fail. The consciousness of your belief is sure to come to you.
Is it me? Okay, so this is really cool. The great reality. There's another, what's that, like about seven just in this reading here tonight? Different names that Bill and team are trying to give us an option to use something different from whatever could be a stumbling block. And a stumbling block to me is something that gets in our way of getting to the end goal, right? So it says deep down inside of everyone is a fundamental idea, God. Then it says we found the great reality deep within us. And then it says, encourages you to search diligently within yourself. And that is so powerful. Within myself. So during the 90s, and this was part of my first relapse, actually. I'm going to tell you about this little piece of it right here. I have one character defect. It is called spiritual pride. It tells me that I've got this figured out, man. Everybody else is like in kindergarten. I mean, I'm like at the college level of this spiritual stuff. So I was going up to JMU, and I was sober for a few years, and I was hanging out with some people who were doing Native American spirituality. We were doing sweat lodges and things like that. And got in tight with the medicine man too, right? And I did a three-day fast on top of a mountain, just sweat, go up, hang out for a few days. You're not eating, you're not drinking. And boy, I got in touch with the universal spirit. It was really pretty awesome. But what kicked in was the spiritual pride that I can figure it out. I've got this. And it's that whole I thing. I can figure this out. And I got away from AA because AA was just full of a bunch of complaining, grumpy, negative people that weren't, you know, they weren't talking about spiritual. They weren't doing the spiritual stuff. They were just talking about it. You know, they were quoting your page numbers and shit like that. You know, they didn't have what I had. I was doing this stuff. And I thought it was special. And you know, what I've said a bunch of times, and I know that I'm not special. I'm just a run-of-the-mill, typical Great Bridge drunk. I had a Harley. Government job, and I was just a garden variety drunk. And I was my first sponsor tried to tell me at 22, he told me I was a garden variety drunk back then. Didn't believe him. That was special. I had all these hurt. I had this bad stuff happen to me. That's why I drank so much. If you had my childhood and all these other things that happened to me, I get it. I had a reason to be an alcoholic. And not now. I don't try to figure out why I'm an alcoholic. Although, I did have a friend tell me one time, what if we, in the process of choosing this life, soul stuff, that we chose this life to have this experience as an alcoholic so that we could really get close to God. It's like, wow, what a concept. I don't know if I was ready for that. It still can blow my mind. But there's so many days when I'm so grateful for what I have in AA. People that I get to hang with, and to practice these spiritual principles in the middle of everything that happens in life, because life happened, divorce, mom died a year and a half ago, got to stay sober through that, because of AA, I get no credit for that one. I'm in Chesapeake General Hospital, this was a 6-day process when she had a stroke and she was slowly dying in hospice, and I would stay there and then I'd go catch a meeting, I'd run down the street, go catch a meeting, get my batteries charged up, go back to the hospital. And in the end, I got to relieve my sister and my aunts and say, I got this tonight. I got this. I'll stay with mom. I got it. And they were grateful. And it's only because of this program that they were able to count on me to be there as my mom was dying. Whereas, it crossed my mind, my only solution to deal with pain was to drink. So if I was still drinking, they'd had to have another bed in there for me, right? Because I'd be going out to the parking lot and getting hammered just so that I could put up with that, because that's what I did when my dad was dying. And I lost a few hours at the end of his life because of my drinking. When I flew into Gulfport, Mississippi, and I stayed at Applebee's drinking for 3 hours to get enough guts to drive up to Hattiesburg when he was dying. But that was the difference in those two things. Drunk, I did what I only drunk I could do, go drink first, then watch dad die. Sober, I was there for the family, I was there for my mom, there for my kids. I had my older daughter in there. I said, look, grandma's gonna be gone. If you wanna go in and talk to her, you go ahead and talk to her. She can hear you, I'm sure. You go ahead. And I stood there and I blocked the door. And I told her, I said, Kayla, I got this. Just block the door. Spiritually blocked it. Man, only because that AA did that thought come to me to say, here, you can go talk to her. It's safe. Sure, you go. I got this. That's G-O-D, y'all. And it's, you know, and the, all I get to do is I get to be a part of this. And I'm so grateful. Thank you.
So as far as finding a power greater than me, I knew that the drugs and alcohol were greater than me in my life. And I pretty much became convinced that I wasn't going to be able to leave them alone without help. So that was about the biggest amount of willingness that I could muster up when I first came in here. And what I know is that, I know a lot of people that didn't come to their relationship with their higher power the same way as I did. And looking back in hindsight, like every meeting that I went to, every message that I heard, every random side conversation I heard outside, you know, with all of the smokers, was a planned part of my life if I had the willingness to show up here. Like none of my journey in Alcoholics Anonymous has been a mistake. And what brought this, you reminded me, was hearing, you know, trust the process. It's a process, and it's a process for all of us. But what I know for me and for all of the women that I look up to and for all of the women that I have in my life is we did the same thing. We had enough willingness to just come here and make our meetings and become of service. And it put me in the place to get what I needed. And if I just continued to stay willing to show up here, that my journey is going to continue and my road is going to get broader and longer. And it and thank goodness, because I couldn't swallow spirituality when I first came in. There was just so much other garble in my life and in my head. And thank goodness that people allowed me to have my own experience. Nobody ever tried to talk me out of my resentments. They just let me have them, you know? And I also learned how to trust the process by watching other people trust the process with me. You know, like what I know is what we do for each other in this program isn't an easy road to walk all of the time. It's painful to watch the people we love suffer. You know, it's painful. It's painful to watch people not be ready and know it. And how many times was I not ready? They never disregarded my phone call when I wasn't ready. You know how we have those lucid moments when we come down really hard and we want to talk to somebody and it makes us feel better, and then 3 days later when we're rested again, we think we have it? You know, I'll let the hand of AA always be there. And for that, I am responsible, just like everyone else who came before me was responsible. And that's the way that my higher power has worked in my life. You know, one giving, and you're right, like, if I really want to look back, I shouldn't be sitting here. Probably most of us shouldn't be sitting here. You know, if I really want to look at the damage that I've done to my body and the positions that I put myself in. You know, we're all probably physical miracles. And it is a process, and I felt like, you know, I really didn't know that it was the very tiny, minute things that you do on a day-to-day basis. They're so small. I like calling 3 alcoholics a day, praying in the morning, praying at night, getting a service position, and showing up for meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous really are the way to become unwanted by numerous cities, you know, and really are the way to get custody back of your children, and really is the way to be able to show up at a death for the people that you love, and it really is the way to get deep and meaningful relationships with people that you can't describe. Who would have ever thought? It seems entirely too simple, and I made it very complicated. And I'm incredibly thankful that people share openly about their walk with their spirituality, and I've learned some things that they do, and that they've accepted me at no matter what stage that I'm at. You know, so if you're new, like you're making spiritual moves today by sitting in this room. So, you know, and the only way that I really know how to describe it is you can't build a relationship with a stranger if you never talk to them. You know, and so for me, like, it was so awkward, especially with my religious background and my family, to pray. You know, it was just really weird. It was uncomfortable for a really long time, but I did it because it was one of the suggestions, and I was really afraid to drink again. You know, I was beaten into willingness. I didn't come here with like happy and ready to do everything you said, but I was afraid. I did it out of fear from the get-go. But because I took the suggestion and I stuck with it, I now actually have a relationship with probably the same higher power that kept me alive so we could have this relationship, you know, and I'm able to see things with a little bit more gratitude and a little bit more clarity than I was able to see when I first came in. And I'm really thankful for everybody who stood beside me. God, like, my higher power has worked through people a lot in my life, and it continues to. So I'm really thankful to be here and thankful for this service opportunity.
Thanks, Casey. It is now time to pass the seventh tradition basket. The seventh tradition states every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their inner group, central office, local services, district, area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Although the amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world, we may want to remember that a dollar does not support as many services as it did previously. Announcements. Are there any AA-related announcements? Yes.
I'm Michelle, an alcoholic.
Hey, Michelle.
My home group, Big Book in Ghent, over at Christ in St. Luke's, Tuesdays at 5:30 on September 18th. We're going to have a speaker. She wrote one of the stories in the fourth edition of the Big Book, Beth H. from Cary, North Carolina. It's going to be potluck. Dinner starts at 5:30. You can bring something if you like. And speaker starts at 6. We'll be finishing up at 7. It'll be a good time. Welcome anybody that wants to come along.
Thanks, Michelle.
I'm Winnie. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Winnie.
And October 12th to the 14th in Surrey, Virginia, the women's meeting, Heart and Hope in Newport News, is holding a retreat. All women are welcome. It's $125 for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Food is served, plus everybody's going to be cooking something. There's all kinds of good food there. Lots of fellowship. We have a great speaker named Fran from Virginia Beach that's going to be speaking. A lot of door prizes, a lot of gifts. It's just going to be a really, really good time for a lot of women. If you're interested, see me at the meeting.
Okay. Crystal?
Crystal Alcoholic. Crystal. District 32's picnic is going to be at Great Neck Park on September 22nd. I believe it starts around 11 a.m. All are welcome. Valley's hosting another fourth step workshop, and that's going to be October 20th. Don't know the time, but I can get it for you. And the gratitude breakfast is a couple months out, and that's going to be November 10th. Thanks.
Thank you. newcomers. No. Simple Actions is a home group. If you are interested in joining our home group, please see one of us after the meeting. Home group members, please raise your hands. Okay. Newcomers. Is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety we would like to welcome you?
Sorry.
That's just hard to believe.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
Hi. All right,
awesome.
Welcome.
Anybody else?
I'm Melissa, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Melissa, welcome. Reminders, smokers, please use the butt can provided outside. Stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. Again, please join me in thanking K. Casey and Bobby for sharing tonight. Thanks to all who participated. After we clean up, all are invited and encouraged to continue the conversation on the step discussed tonight at the meeting after the meeting, which will be held at Plaza del Sol. That's at 22nd Street and Colonial Avenue. And will someone volunteer to read the last two paragraphs on page 164? BJ.
My name's BJ. Our vote is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Did I forget to say the sponsorship thing?
No, you didn't.
I said it. I did.
No, you didn't.
Did I? I think you're wrong.
Do it.
Sponsorship.
Yeah.
Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, I will be available at this table after we close the meeting. Please feel free to come talk to me. I will help get you hooked up. Now let's close the meeting with the Lord's Prayer.
Is that what I said?
Awesome, so good.
Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,